Reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus is announced. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. He had a message for a young woman, promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God has been gracious to you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king as his ancestor David was, and he will be the king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "I am a virgin. How then can this be?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and God's power will rest upon you. For this reason, the holy child will be called the Son of God. Remember your relative Elizabeth? It is said that she cannot have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old, for there is nothing that God cannot do." "I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And the angel left her. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hope. How would you describe hope? How do we describe that feeling of anticipation? Perhaps a future that is better than the present. Sometimes there's a bit of excitement. Sometimes we're a bit giddy. Hope. Hope is waiting in anticipation, in expectation. Today we begin the season of Advent, the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. It's a season of hope. As we prepare, as we anticipate the birth of Jesus, bringing hope to the world, and continue to look to the return of Christ. We've just heard one of the greatest dialogues in history. It's an announcement of coming hope. The Messiah will be born. Gabriel, the angel, announces our hope today and that this hope will come again. This is God taking the initiative. Luke reports to us that Jesus didn't have a father in the ordinary way. Now, we remember that Luke is a physician, a doctor at the time, and he would have been pretty aware of the birth process. And yet he records the angel's message to Mary in great detail. Luke was methodical. He was a thinker. And he was a researcher. At the beginning of the gospel, Luke states that he's spoken with eyewitnesses. He was a first century historian that wanted to get it right. Tradition has it that he interviewed people for his writing. We can imagine him sitting with Mary, asking her questions about what happened. I like how Mary is not glamorous. She's so ordinary. But she's chosen. God works in humanity, in the lowly. this lowly backwater town of Nazareth in the backwater region of Galilee. Mary is a no-name girl, really. No status, not famous, but God's chosen. This dialogue is called the Annunciation, and it follows a pattern of birth annunciations in the Old Testament. The person is told not to be afraid, to call the recipients of the vision by name, assures him or her of God's favour, discloses the name of the baby to be born, and reveals the future role of the child. This annunciation is part of a larger story, God's story, God's story of connecting with humankind. Mary questions the angel, I might be engaged, but I'm a virgin. How can this be? And the angel answers, the Holy Spirit will come on you. Or in the Greek, it could be upon you. And it's similar wording to Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These are the words of Jesus after his resurrection. The promise of the Spirit. This is hope. The angel reassures Mary that the Holy Spirit will come upon her. Hope comes. She need not be afraid. And then the angel continues with, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Overshadow can also be to envelop. It's made up of upon and to cast a shade. So God's power will be so close that it casts a shadow on her. God's power will envelop her. They're encouraging words, but I wonder what this moment is like for Mary. What did she feel? Was she afraid? The painting on the screen is Henry Osawa Tanner's painting called The Annunciation. It's his portrayal of the angel coming to Mary. Mary sits compliantly on her bed, her fingers intertwined, her head slightly bowed, looking apprehensive. The bedclothes are ruffled and have fallen on the floor. And from the other side of the room, we see this blazing light. Notice the wrinkling of the carpet. What caused it to bunch up in the middle like that? Did it happen when Mary jumped in fright when the angel appeared to her? We notice that she has bare feet. Did her feet get caught? Did she spin around, back down onto the bed? Luke tells us that Mary was greatly troubled at his words. I don't think that would surprise us. So the angel soothes her with, "Do not be afraid, Mary." And then commissions her for this extraordinary task. There's no indication of Mary's fear or perhaps terror in this painting. But we do have a clue in the disturbed rug. In this moment in time, she appears to have composed herself. The painter has captured this quizzical expression. We can imagine her asking, "How will this be?" She looks skeptical, uncertain, confused, and she looks so young. This first Sunday in Advent is a time to declare hope, but this is a fragile hope. A young woman, barely a woman, sits compliantly on her messy bed, listening to an angel's crazy message. This is an insane message, an impossible message, an unbelievable message. Who of us would believe what Gabriel is saying here? That an unmarried teenager will give birth to the hope of the nations. That a nervous virgin will conceive a king, a ruler over all Jacob's descendants. By depicting Mary at this moment, Tanner seems to prolong the moment between the angel's announcement and Mary's response. We're invited into a kind of pregnant pause, so to speak. A moment in which all the angels in heaven and all the very stuff of creation take a deep breath and wait. And we wait too. And then Mary speaks in a faltering young voice. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. There's this outtake of breath. This is hope, sweet hope. And in this painting, we're sort of drawn into this moment in time where we imagine something of the moment. We're drawn into the tension, into the beauty. May your word to me be fulfilled. Let it be according to your will. Surely this is one of the most courageous statements of all time. She would have suffered ridicule and contempt on being pregnant and unmarried in a town with the normal gossip. And she responds with, I am the Lord's servant and God's will be done. When God calls us, when God speaks to us, is this our response? I am your servant, your will be done. Mary exemplifies obedience, and her obedience brings us hope. Her response takes us to hope, leads us to hope. Hope was born at Jesus' birth, the baby that changed the world forever. The gospel is a place of hope. As Christians, we are a people of hope. As a congregation, we are a body of hope. I don't normally read from the Uniting Church regulations in a sermon. In fact, I never have. But today, I am. Listen to these words. A congregation, as the embodiment in one place of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, shall be those members and adherents who worship, witness, and serve as a fellowship of the Spirit in Christ and who meet regularly to hear God's word, to celebrate these sacraments, to build one another up in love, to share the wider responsibilities of the church and to serve the world, and who are recognized as a congregation by the presbytery. In fulfilling its purpose, a congregation shall, and there's a number of things here, including sustain the members and adherents in hope. In hope. As a congregation, we're to sustain people in hope. I wonder what that means for us. This is a question that we explore together. Perhaps it's a question for us to talk about over coffee or in our connect groups. We are a people of hope. The story of the Annunciation is part of God's greater story, an announcement of hope for all humankind. God has not abandoned us to the consequences of our own sinful nature, but rather God has sent Jesus as our deliverer. There is another way. There is reconciliation. There is fellowship with God. There is hope. And we respond by being part of God's story. Responding individually with, I am your servant. God's will be done in my life, in this season, in my week. Are we willing to say each day of this week, here am I. Let it be as you will. And also responding together as a community. In Romans 12:12, we find the words, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Out on our website, it says we're a community who is seeking to be worshipful and inviting and caring and expectant, alive in the Holy Spirit and full of adventurous faith, sharing faith in Jesus Christ. We have a vision to be a place of acceptance, a community of hope, where lives are transformed in Jesus, where Jesus can be found and followed. Hope. I'd like to finish with Mary's song, which was written by Neryl McCullum from Brougham Place Uniting Church. And it's Mary's song, her response. There's a whole heap of joy and hope, and a whole heap of fear bubbling away in me. In that place where heart and gut meet, that doesn't really have a name, but you know it exists because you can put your hand right there and it's making me want to sing and puke at the same time. And you can call me mad at saying the angel came and whispered in my ear that I was chosen, and I'd believe you in my head, but there's this incessant bubbling just there in that place where heart and gut meet that won't be denied. And you can say that I'm a liar and that God doesn't associate with nobodies like me, and I'd know you are right. But there's no getting away from this bubbling there in that place between heart and gut that knows truth when it's told and God. And God when God appears. So I will sing. I will sing of hope. I will sing of hope. This Advent, remember hope. Pause for hope. No hope. Be known for hope.